Welcome back, 1221, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, Clifford D. May, president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and a Washington Times columnist. Cliff, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, despite what's going on in the world. And thank you. I got a preview of your column for tomorrow. It'll be appearing in the Washington Times, New World Disorder. And man, oh man, you describe a hobbled giant, meaning America. And that is very accurate, isn't it?
Well, I think it is. I mean, I'm trying to give some context to what's going on in Russia, where we have, you know, Russian boots on the ground in Ukraine. But that's not the only place where we've got crisis and chaos breaking out, if you think about it, even though it's hard for the other stories to break into the news media mix. But North Korea is firing off missiles again. I think the Iran negotiations are going very badly. I think we're giving significant concessions and pretending that the Iranians are reciprocating. They're not. In Syria, the chemical weapons surrender, that has stalled. And meanwhile, you've got al-Qaeda forces that the administration claimed about 2 years ago it had defeated, fighting against the proxy of Iran. Iraq, there we've squandered some very hard-earned gains. The Taliban could well be on its way to reclaiming Afghanistan once our troops leave. Venezuela is in turmoil. China's acting like a bully. And it seems like the president's most important initiative in response to all this is to propose to reduce the size of America's military to pre-2011 levels.
Yeah.
I just don't see how people can see America as a reliable ally, and more importantly, as a formidable adversary, which I think it's vital that we appear to be and that we actually are.
Yeah, you know, and I can see where a lot of this developed. A few years back, you may recall that we had leaders in the Middle East claiming that America had lost its strength, and they only respect strength. And we heard that from a lot of people describing those in the Islamic culture. You know, they only respect someone who is strong and a country that is strong, and they just saw America kind of go down the tubes.
Well, that's the way the world has been for most of history and continues to be in a lot of places. And you're certainly right about the Islamic world. Remember that Osama bin Laden said long ago, people see a strong horse and a weak horse. They naturally prefer the strong horse. And we do not seem like a strong horse. We didn't to Osama bin Laden. We don't to the Iranians. I also think we don't to Putin. I don't think Putin is all warm and fuzzy and granola eating and things. even though, if you remember back in September, he wrote an op-ed for the New York Times in which it's really remarkable to read it again, and I'll link to it in my column tomorrow if people are looking online, because he uses all the language that people so much like, mutual trust and shared success, the international community, which I think is a key phrase, and I think it's a nonsensical phrase, keeping hope alive. And he has this one line that I think is just wonderful right now to remember. He said, "We must stop using the language of force and return to the path of civilized, diplomatic, and political settlement." And people said, "Oh, that's wonderful. He believes that. Wow, yeah, that's what we think, too." And he is just laughing through his teeth at the time. You just got to know that.
Yeah, and one of my favorites has become, he'll recognize that he's on the wrong side of history.
That phrase always gets to me, because it's remarkable that people think they know that people believe that history has a side, takes a side, and they know what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, you think that in Rome in its final days, they said, those barbarians are clearly on the wrong side of history. I don't think history is not deterministic. You don't know that things get better.
Yeah. All right, so what's going on today in Ukraine? We've got John Kerry there.
Yes.
And I just witnessed him in Kiev. I guess he went for chicken dinner. I don't know. But anyhow.
Chicken Kiev, yes.
Yeah, really. You
very
know,
good.
He's walking along what appears to be a receiving line, and people, including men, are handing him red roses, and he's being celebrated as, you know, some kind of messiahical figure that you know, has shown up. And what's he going to do? He's offered $1 billion in aid, but we certainly can't. We're not going to provide any military assistance. So all we can do is stand with the international community.
Well, that is the phrase that gets me the most, because this phrase, international community, and Obama's been using it over and over again. He says that Russia needs to be part of the international community. The international community wants stability. International community, we stand with the international community. It's a figment of the imagination, you know, right there with Batman, Wonder Woman, Paul Bunyan, and Babe the Blue Ox. There is no international community that all has similar values and wants the same thing. You've got Kerry, as you say, telling people, we're helping, we're here to help, and they can throw money at things, but that's fine. They'll give money to the Ukrainians, who will probably spend it in Russia. What we really have to try to understand, and this is where the puzzle is right now, is where does Putin stop? What exactly does he want? That he wants Crimea, that I think is clear, and he will have Crimea one way or another, and I don't think there's very much we're likely to do about it, although there should be some punishment. There's no question about that. In 2008, keep in mind, Putin went into Georgia, lopped off some of Georgia, and let the rest of Georgia know that its sovereignty and independence was limited. And we didn't punish him. We let him have the Sochi Olympics. We reset our relations as if it was our fault that we had bad relations with him. And that told him, I guess I can do this. So my guess is he does the same thing here. He lops off part of Ukraine. He lops off Crimea for sure. Maybe parts of the east where you have a Russian ethnic linguistic majority. My guess, and it's only that, is that he doesn't try to take and occupy the western Ukraine, which where the nationalists are, only the eastern part where the Russians are, because that would be harder for him. But he has to know that he has control over the pipelines that run through it and bring Russian gas to Western Europe. That's important for him economically, and it's important for the EU as well.
All right. Sanctions, they wouldn't be effective?
Listen, sanctions can be effective if you're really serious about them, not symbolic. Sanctions, I believe, brought Iran to the table, and then we relieved the pressure instead of increasing the pressure, which I think has been a great mistake. I don't think we're going to have serious sanctions, maybe symbolic sanctions in this case, because I don't think the Europeans want that. I think they think if we do that, it's going to hurt our economies because we need the trade. I just don't think there could be something called the Magnitsky Act that punishes individual Russians who are cronies of Putin, who have money abroad and want to travel abroad. It is possible to do something with that, but broad-based economic sanctions, as we're relieving them on Iran, I doubt it.
Hmm. All right, folks, I want to call your attention to this. It will be in tomorrow's Washington Times, both the print edition and online at WashingtonTimes.com. It's by Cliff May. New World Disorder, When Foreign Policy is Based on Fictions, Crises, and Chaos Must Be Expected. Very well done, my friend, and thank you for the update on the situation in Ukraine, and you and I will stay in touch with each other as this situation goes forward. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy. My brother.
Take care. Cliff May, president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and a Washington Times columnist. It is 1229 at 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And coming up in just a few minutes, well, I've got lots of things I want to get to, provided we have the time. Jimmy Kimmel has another episode of Lie Witness News. He also had Rob Ford on his program, the Toronto mayor, last night, and it was comical, to say the least. Ellen DeGeneres, I thought she did a wonderful job the other night in emceeing as the host, if you will, of the Academy Awards. And she had some fun, and it was dealing with pizza. Do you remember the delivery of the pizza? Well, they forgot to tip the guy. She took care of that yesterday, and we'll have that coming up in just a few minutes. So stay tuned to 1260 WRC. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.